Say, this is the first time I've been on the ocean.
Oh, don't apologize, Harvey.
Who's apologizing? This is the first time I've crossed the ocean, gentlemen, and except the first day, I haven't been sick one little bit. No, sir.
He brought down his fist with a triumphant bang, wetted his finger, and went on counting the bills.
Oh, you're a high-grade machine with the writing in plain sight, the Philadelphian yawned. You'll blossom into a credit to your country if you don't take care.
I know it. I'm an American, first, last, and all the time. I'll show them that when I strike Europe. My cig's out. I can't smoke the truck the steward sells. Any gentleman got a real Turkish cig on him?
The chief engineer entered for a moment, red, smiling, and wet.
Say, Mac, cried Harvey cheerfully. How are we hitting it?
Very much in the ordinary way, was the grave reply. The younger are as polite as ever to their elders, and their elders are e'en trying to appreciate it.
A low chuckle came from a corner. The German opened his cigar case and handed a skinny black cigar to Harvey.
That is the proper apparatus to smoke, my young friend, he said. You will try it? Yes? Then you'll be ever so happy.
Harvey lit the unlovely thing with a flourish. He felt that he was getting on in grown-up society.
It would take more than this to keel me over, he said, ignorant that he was lighting that terrible article, a wheeling stogie.
That we shall presently see, said the German. Where are we now, Mr. MacDonald?
Just there or thereabouts, Mr. Schaefer, said the engineer. We'll be on the Grand Bank tonight, but in a general way of speaking, we're all among the fishing fleet now. We've shaved 3 dories and near scalped the boom off a Frenchman since noon, and that's close sailing, you may say.
You like my cigar, eh?
The German asked, for Harvey's eyes were full of tears.
Fine, full flavor, he answered through shut teeth. Guess we've slowed down a little, haven't we? I'll skip out and see what the log says.
I might if I was you, said the German.
Harvey staggered over the wet decks to the nearest rail. He was very unhappy, but he saw the deck steward lashing chairs together, and since he had boasted before the man that he was never seasick, his pride made him go aft to the second saloon deck at the stern, which was finished in a turtleback. The deck was deserted, and he crawled to the extreme end of it, near the flagpole. There he doubled up in limp agony, for the wheeling stogie joined with the surge and jar of the screw to sieve out his soul. His head swelled, sparks of fire danced before his eyes. His body seemed to lose weight, while his heels wavered in the breeze. He was fainting from seasickness, and a roll of the ship tilted him over the rail onto the smooth lip of the turtleback. Then a low, gray mother wave swung out of the fog, tucked Harvey under one arm, so to speak, and pulled him off and away to leeward. The great green closed over him, and he went quietly to sleep. He was roused by the sound of a dinner horn, such as they used to blow at a summer school he had once attended in the Adirondacks. Slowly he remembered that he was Harvey Shane, drowned and dead in mid-ocean, but was too weak to fit things together. A new smell filled his nostrils. Wet and clammy chills ran down his back, and he was helplessly full of salt water. When he opened his eyes, he perceived that he was still on top of the sea, for it was running around him in silver-colored hills, and he was lying on a pile of half-dead fish, looking at a broad human back clothed in a blue jersey. It's no good, thought the boy. I'm dead, sure enough, and this thing is in charge. He groaned, and the figure turned its head, showing a pair of little gold rings half hidden in curly black hair.
Aha! You feel some pretty well now, it said.
Lie still, so we trim better.
With a swift jerk, he sculled the flickering boathead on to a foamless sea that lifted her 20 full feet, only to slide her into a glassy pit beyond. But this mountain climbing did not interrupt Blue Jersey's talk.
Fine good job, I say, that I catch you.
What? Better good job, I say, your boat not catch me. How you come to fall out?
I was sick, said Harvey. Sick and couldn't help it.
Just in time I blow my horn and your boat she yaw a little. Then I see you come all down.
What?
I think you are cut into bits by the screw, but you drift. Drift to me, and I make a big fish of you. So you shall not die this time.
Where am I? Said Harvey, who could not see that life was particularly safe where he lay.
You are with me in the dory,